2 years ago, James Foley, an American journalist, was kidnapped in northwest Syria. He hadn't been seen since until yesterday, when a video was posted online showing Foley being beheaded. His mother, it's reported, has accepted that her son is dead. On the line now from Washington is Terence McCoy of the Washington Post. Good morning to you, Terence. Thanks for joining us. What's known about this grisly killing of James Foley?
Well, as of right now, what's known is that there are about three American officials saying that the video does appear to be authentic. And as you just said a moment ago, his mother has seemed to accept that it is her son. She wrote on Facebook last night, speaking of her son Jim in the past tense, she said, "We have never been prouder of our son Jim. He gave his life trying to expose the world to the suffering of the Syrian people." She went on to say he was an extraordinary son, brother, journalist, and person, and then asked that media and other people please respect their privacy as they try to mourn and cherish him.
And tell me, Terence, about the video. James Foley reads a statement, isn't that right? What does he say?
Yes, James Foley did read a statement beforehand. It was a video in which took place, it's an undisclosed location. It seemed to be in a desert location. It depicted just Foley, who was in an orange prison garb, and then a masked militant wearing nothing but black next to him. And the video opened up with Foley reading a statement in which he derided the U.S. airstrikes that were targeting the Islamic State in northern Iraq. He called them his, quote, real killers. And then he read aloud some sort of message to, quote, his beloved parents. He told them to save him some dignity and not to accept any sort of compensation for his death from the same people who, quote, effectively hit the last nail in my coffin.
I'm not sure, Terence, if you've seen or studied this video yourself, but do you have a sense of what his... Clearly he knew he was facing death, what his demeanor was.
Yeah, I have seen the video. It is chilling, and his demeanor itself was reserved and poised. He talked about... there's almost some sort of a trace of resignation in it. And there wasn't much struggle at all. He read aloud or read aloud what maybe they told him to say or what he thought. It's unclear, but he did appear to be reserved at that last moment.
And is it clear and unequivocal that his death in such an absolutely horrific and grisly fashion is a direct response then to the airstrikes by the United States in northern Iraq?
American officials are still trying to confirm a lot of those allegations, those claims. I think it's difficult to say anything is unequivocal at this point, but that is at least what this video purports to be a retribution for. As I'm sure your listeners know, the Americans have launched several airstrikes on Islamic State militants in the last couple of days to try and reclaim the Mosul Dam in northern Iraq. And right now they're saying that in retribution for that, they have decided to punish and to kill this American, and they're saying that if Barack Obama continues to issue more airstrikes, that more Americans will die.
Stay with us, Terry, because I want to bring listeners a clip of James Foley when he was working in another of the Middle East's trouble spots, speaking in 2011 about an episode when he and some colleagues had come under fire from Gaddafi forces in Libya.
I quickly realized, no, this isn't a crossfire. This is them firing at us directly. And not long after that, I heard Anton Hamrell, the South African photographer who was sort of in front by about 10 or 20 meters, shouting, "Help, help." I yelled, "Anton, are you okay?" He responded, "No." Another barrage of bullets. And I said, "Anton," and he didn't respond after that. You know, the bullets were still coming closer. These soldiers were, in fact, out of their vehicles shooting at us. So, it was kind of an instinctive, a gut feeling, you know. Either you get up and maybe hold your hands up to surrender, or maybe you get shot down like Anton was. And so I I just got up. I sort of ran forward with my hands up, yelling, "Sahafa, Sahafa, journalist, journalist." Before they got to me, I saw Anton lying on the ground and bleeding out heavily, motionless. Something inside you tells you he was dead.
And that was James Foley, the latest victim among the journalists covering the situation in Syria. I think some 69 journalists now in all have been killed covering that conflict. Many of them indeed Syrians themselves, and also many reporters kidnapped and still missing, some 20 of them or so. Back to you, Terry, Terry in Washington. What is known about James Foley's background? He seemed to be somebody who could operate almost fearlessly in some of the most dangerous places in the world.
Well, I can tell you that he did operate in some of the most dangerous places in the world. He was a freelance journalist. His last assignment seemed to be with Global Post. It's a Boston-based American news website that focuses on world affairs. He was also freelancing for AFP at that time. And that does raise something of more questions as to some of the freelance journalists and the conditions that they're working under in some of these hotspots right now. The Syrian crisis has seemed to have given rise to a new sort of cadre of foreign journalists, many of them freelance. And when they're operating under those conditions, they don't necessarily have some of the protections or some of the significant resources that some of the more established newspapers or outlets seem to have. And it does raise questions as to some of the conditions that men like James Foley and other missing American journalists like Austin Tice faced before they were kidnapped.
Yes, tell me about Austin Tice. He's somebody who has written for your own paper, The Washington Post.
Yeah, Austin Tice, he wrote several nuanced and well-crafted pieces for us in 2012 before he was kidnapped. Or just disappeared. It's unclear exactly what happened to him. He's from Houston in Texas. He was a former Marine captain, and he actually found his way into Syria by wriggling underneath a fence in the northern border along Turkey. And he gets in the country, and he pairs up with the Free Syrian Army and other militants, and he's a brash sort of roguish type figure. Very confident, but unfortunately he has disappeared for the last 2 years.
And how experienced was he, and how experienced indeed was the man we've spent most of our time talking about, James Foley?
James Foley was a substantially more experienced journalist. Obviously, Austin Tice was pretty experienced in conflict zones himself. He served a tour in both Afghanistan and in Iraq with the U.S. Army, and he used some of that training to help him out. He'd actually never even written an article or been published before he got into Syria, and showed quite some skills at that.
Right,
Foley himself was a much more experienced journalist, though.
But I read that he just graduated from Medill School of Journalism in New Hampshire, or at least he grew up in New Hampshire. He graduated from journalism school in 2008, so he was still a very young man, it would appear.
He was a young man. He was unequivocally a young man, yes.
Well, with a name like Foley, one suspects there was some Irish blood in his veins, and our sympathies go very much to him and his family. May he rest in peace. Terry, thank you for joining us. That's Terence McCoy there from the Washington Post on the line there from the US Capitol.